save your money. Cancel your subscription to Teen Beat Magazine. Get a free subscription to the Andrew Walker Show podcast instead. Available in iTunes or with your podcatcher of choice. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. More analysis of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome to Baseball Central for July 15th. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. You're going to have to carry the show. I'm dealing with my...
What's new?
Boston fans on Twitter.
How's that going?
It's going well.
Yeah, they hate you, right?
Well, they're not very bright. So, yeah, that's pretty good.
Wonder why they don't like you.
It's a horrible city. Man. It really is. It's an absolutely horrible city.
Is that really how you feel?
Well, it's basically Cleveland with Cleveland on the ocean, right?
Man.
Anyhow. Do-do-do-do-do. The people didn't like it that I referred to Fenway Park as the oldest public urinal in North America. Apparently, some guy pointed out the urinals at Fenway are brand new and are probably more up to date than... the urinals at the Rogers Center. That's the level.
Maybe a good point.
That's a level of discourse. They're mad because I wrote, because the commissioner's office told me that they are looking into David Ortiz for tampering allegated. I wrote a column saying they should. David Ortiz should shut his big fat mouth and play baseball.
Mm.
You know,
I'm sure.
And they're upset.
I'm sure he'll listen to you.
They're upset. Anyhow, I don't care. It's fun. How are you?
I can see it's really been tough on you reading that stuff.
I'm beaten up. I'm beaten up here.
Yeah.
If you're listening in Boston, by the way, and I know at least six of you are.
Nice. Hi.
Welcome to the Jeff. Well, no, this isn't the Jeff Blair Show. This is Baseball
Central. Basically, it is.
That gentleman over there is Kevin Barker. We're going to start talking. Ross Atkins is going to join us at 12:15. And, of course, the Red Sox, big news in Red Sox land. Boston, last night, the Red Sox trading their top pitching prospect, Anderson Espinosa, for Drew Pomeranz. Interesting to Blue Jays fans for a variety of reasons. Drew Pomeranz, of course, will now be pitching in the American League East. But Drew Pomeranz is also a pitcher that we are led to believe the Toronto Blue Jays had a certain amount of interest in. We know that Ross Atkins was general manager of the Cleveland Indians when the aforementioned Pomeranz was drafted. He's a left-handed pitcher. He's having a career year. Interesting, though, we just, Kevin, a couple of minutes ago on the Jeff Blair Show, spoke to Vince Catronio, who's the play-by-play voice for the Oakland Athletics. Drew Pomeranz pitched for the Athletics. This is his fourth team, fourth organization at the age of 26. Vince Catronio, this is a quote. I don't think Drew Pomeranz is a big lights pitcher. This from a guy who was a play-by-play voice for a team that Pomeranz was on.
Yeah.
I don't think Drew Pomeranz is a big lights pitcher. And then he went on to say, Boston is a big lights market. You know, we've talked a little bit about this in the past, haven't we? And you know a little bit about the Boston market.
Yeah.
And you know an awful lot about the American League East. You got to have a major set of stones the pitch in the American League East. You've also got to have pretty good stuff, don't you?
Especially this time of the year. This time of the year, the stuff and that first thing you just said have to get bigger and a little bit more all headed in the right direction. Yeah, it's going to, you know, he's having a good year. He's going to a pretty good team. Red Sox are not a bad team. You know, when you get on a good team that's expected to win, maybe it'll be a little bit different for him this time. It doesn't change any league you go to. It doesn't change. You have to get ahead of guys and be efficient, give your team a chance to win. And if he does that, they're going to score a lot of runs. That's something you can always hang your hat on, is the Red Sox going to score a lot of runs. They just, that starting rotation doesn't have to do a lot. Just keep them in the game long enough till they can figure out and score some runs. What's to say he's not going to do that this year or the rest of the year? It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's and look, it's we know the Red Sox need pitching. Everybody needs pitching at this time of the year, but we also know that, you know, if you're a general manager, one of the things you like to do is, you know, it's great when you can acquire something you need that everybody else in your division is looking for too. And yeah. Baltimore and Toronto, the two teams in that division, in the division that'll be factors in this, along with the Red Sox, were both interested in Drew Pomeranz for the reason not the least of which is that he's a controllable pitcher, and you got him through 2019. Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny to me is when you look at the teams in the American League East, what's the one team via starting rotation that would not have to 100% go out and get a guy to help their rotation? That's the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
And that's funny how that works. That we would have never said that the first day of spring training coming into the season that the Toronto Blue Jays would have one of the best starting rotations in baseball. It's that's why, you know, you could, if you're Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro, you have numerous ways you can go on this team if you don't go out and give, because what starting pitching you have to do? You have to give up prospects and a little bit of money. Well, if they don't want to do that, they can go other ways because that rotation's pretty good. Either whatever you want to do with Aaron Sanchez, that's up to them. They're going to do what they want, and they're going to do what's best for him. To me, the one guy that stands out is the guy's pitching today.
Mm-hmm.
If Marcus Stroman comes back and be that guy that we've seen for, what, the last four starts of last year and the first four of this year, if he's that guy, everything's going to fall in place. If he's not that guy, they may be in a little trouble because they're, you know, they're, you have to remember now what's going to happen to Marco Estrada. Is the back thing going to be okay? Is he going to be able to be that guy again? You know, the backs are an issue. I never had a big time back issue, but you can figure you saw the way he was walking around the mound. It's going to be hard on him. To me, the one guy is the guy that's pitching today. He is that guy with a lot of attitude walking to that mound and showing everybody he's supposed to get him out. Blue Jays are going to be right there. If he's not, then what that means is then your bullpen has to do a lot more than they're probably capable of doing. And there's a reason why they got 20 losses out of that pen. There's a reason why.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you mention that because we have talked long and hard about how good the starting rotation has been on balance for the Blue Jays this year. And one of the things we haven't mentioned, and you just mentioned it and brought it up, as good as it's been, this starting rotation can be better. Because Marcus Stroman struggled during the first half. 100%. If what we've seen from Marcus Stroman in the last couple outings is what we're going to get from him in the second half, then as good as this rotation has been in the first half of the season, it's even better into the second half of the season. That's without an acquisition. Now, I get the story, and as I said, Ross Atkins will join us in a few minutes. The story, again, is Aaron Sanchez. And what does this organization do with Aaron Sanchez? And maybe most importantly, when does it do it with Aaron Sanchez? Mm-hmm. Now, this is I found this very interesting. And you know what? I wish we had known this. I wish we had known this when we were on yesterday with Bob McCowan on Primetime Sports. Tom Verducci, who, you know, if anybody listens to this show knows that I think Tom Verducci's the best, period. We talked about pitch counts and everything, and I'm glad I didn't mention. McCowan would have jumped all over this. Tom Verducci's a guy who was the first mainstream media member to start talking about pitch counts and doing the numbers and find, you know, they used to call it the Verducci. They still do. They call it the Verducci effect, the, you know, percentage increase in innings, the negative effect it has. Mm-hmm. But this gets to McCowan's point. Because, you know, McCowan was mentioning, look, we've done all this stuff with pitchers and they're still getting hurt. Matt Harvey of the New York Mets, who we know is now shut down with the thoracic, with the shoulder injury. Matt Harvey of the New York Mets has had extra rest in 57% of his career starts. Think about that. So more than half his career starts have been made in extra rest. He's thrown 116 pitches twice. Not since 2013. He's averaged 97 pitches per start this year, and he's hurt. So Tom Verducci's, what he is saying here is, look, one size doesn't fit all. A lot of it has to do with how you pitch, how you recover from your pitching, you know, what type of body you have. This is interesting. I'm going to continue because Tom talks about the problems the Mets have had this year. Syndergaard is a dead arm. Mats has a bone spur in his elbow. You know, Jacob DeGrom's average velocity is down almost 2 miles an hour. Zach Wheeler, you know, his comeback from Tommy John surgery has been a stutter step one. But this is interesting, I thought. Pedro Martinez asked Mets officials on Monday at the All-Star game if he could have a sit-down with Noah Syndergaard. And, you know, he said he didn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to go behind the team, but he said, I want to sit down with him because I want to talk to him about something I learned early in my career. You don't have to max out all the time with your pitches. You can dial back the effort and velocity, and you can extend your career without sacrificing results. And the Mets official said, if it comes from us, I don't know if he, being Syndergaard, hears it. But from it, coming from a guy like Petey, it just might make a difference. So we're going to talk to Ross Atkins about that. I find that interesting, though. And, you know, you've talked about that in the past, about Aaron Sanchez and overthrowing. And maybe somebody needs to get, I don't know, Henken talks to Aaron Sanchez all the time. Mm-hmm. But stress that you don't have to max out all the time with your pitches.
I think that's inexperience. I think that's youth that does not understand all the things you just mentioned. Doesn't understand his body, doesn't understand how to get big league hitters out. It's not always you have to add a little bit. You can take a little bit mm-hmm. off, and that's good enough to get guys out early in games. It's, you know, and a lot of it to me when you're on the outside looking in is when you do something a lot, what do? You get stronger at it.
Yes.
And
you
to
me, muscle memory
100%
and repetition.
It's like when you work out or you're doing anything when you're working out, the more you do it,
yeah,
the stronger you get.
I know that feeling.
Well, you
yeah.
do ab work all the time. You know,
yeah,
the,
you like my core, right?
Yeah.
Look at that.
It's
core.
Impressive.
That's an impressive core.
Something.
What can I do with it, Kevin? You ever see that before?
I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Oh, you're talking about.
Yeah. It's just you get, you know, obviously you get stronger the more you do something. And I just totally lost my train of
thought. Well,
we're
talking about muscle memory.
I wish we were on TV so people could see that.
Muscle memory and pitching.
Yeah. It just goes hand in hand. And I think sometimes when guys aren't throwing as much in spring training, they're not throwing as much in the offseason. Mm-hmm. This is the time of the year where you start seeing guys, it catches up to them because they're not as strong with their arm, with their shoulder, with their mechanics, all of these things. It's muscle memory. It's just like you said, you do it over and over and over and over and over again till you're tired of doing it, and then your body's just used to doing it second nature. These guys don't do that.
Yeah.
It's a lot more of let's schedule, let's throw 80 pitches here, 90 pitches here, let's long toss for 6 minutes instead of just going out and throwing until you can't throw anymore, until you feel like you're okay. Anymore, it's just not up to the player. And is that good? Is that bad? I'm not sure. I think it's all an individual kind of thing, and I think you're seeing a lot of the youth that does not understand what all it takes to get big league hitters out and when they can take a little bit off and add a little bit. Because, again, you know, if you take a little bit off and you give up a hit, then you're going to have to answer the question, well, why'd you do that? Well, older guys understand that sometimes you can do it, throw it in certain spots, you know, do little things to add a little bit of different mm-hmm. element to the way it looks, things of that nature. And youth doesn't understand that. I didn't understand that when I was younger. I thought the harder I swung, the further I'd hit it. Well, that doesn't always work.
And further to Tom Verducci's point, again, you can read this article is on SI.com. Further to Verducci's point, he spoke to some Mets people, and they were talking about, and I find this stuff fascinating. The Mets realized that Harvey in college and early in his pro career started pulling the ball farther away from him on his arm swing in order to increase velocity. And what that did is that elevated the bone that made the throwing elbow higher than the throwing shoulder. It pushes the arm high and away from the head, which understandably would put more stress mm-hmm. on the elbow and shoulder. So this gets to, I think sometimes, and Bob, we were talking about this with Bob, and it was a valid point made by Bob.
Yep.
There are a lot of factors beyond just this is a number. It's how you throw, it's the mechanics, and You know, we'll ask Ross. We'll ask Ross about. Do we have Ross on the line? We'll ask Ross about that particular issue with Aaron Sanchez, and he is going to join us.
I can't imagine what these guys go through. All the guys with the Mets, they're in a pennant race. They're expected to win. It's all on that rotation's back. You got Sanchez the same way. He's basically trying to take over the number one spot. What's that do? It's a lot of pressure. Yeah. You're expected to win every time you go out. What do you do when you're a young kid? See how hard I can throw this baseball, and sometimes that's not always the right way, and you have to learn.
We'll talk to Ross Atkins, general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, about that. And Ross Atkins joins us on Baseball Central. Hello, Ross.
Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
Good. Kevin, you're on
how
with.
How you guys doing?
We're doing well. You're on with Kevin Barker and myself. I trust you enjoyed your break. I trust you were able to get away a little bit.
You know what? I did spend more time with my kids than I would have on another Monday or Tuesday. But you know, it's funny how I think. How the game has evolved a little bit where people actually do take a little bit of time on the All-Star break. At least the GMs I was talking to were talking about doing those things. But I think what technology has allowed us to stay in touch. So you're able to maybe not come into the office, but it was still very active, as you can see, as moves have occurred. And we were certainly on the phone a great deal.
Well, I wanted to ask you that. I mean, look, I don't expect state secrets, but we know that there's some familiarity between you guys. I mean, you and Mark Shapiro and Drew Pomeranz. He was traded to the Red Sox. I'll just ask you, did you guys have any interest in Drew, and were there any talks with San Diego about him?
So, I can't talk about specific trade discussions and specific players. I can tell you that I'm a fan of Drew's. We are, always pulling for. There's not many baseball players I don't pull for.
True.
But when you have a relationship with someone and you were a part of his introduction to professional baseball, you tend to be a little bit more connected to that. So very, very happy for this opportunity for him. I think the trade's an impressive one. It is, that they were aggressive in trying to get Drew, no doubt. And Espinoza is one of the better prospects in baseball.
Yeah, Ross, when you see teams in the same division, the American League East, obviously the Red Sox doing that, does that put pressure on you as being one of the teams, say, in the American League East, to go out and sort of say, you did that, now we're going to try and do that, and plus something else? Does it put more pressure on you as a front staff to do anything like that?
You know, it's kind of like, when people think about pressure, imagine when you were pitching, Kevin, the situation, if it increases pressure on you, you typically are doing worse. So, the pressure you put on yourself is typically the most productive, and, guys that are intrinsically motivated to do the best they can absolutely do regardless of the situation typically have the best results. And guys that increase pressure because of circumstance or situation typically get out of their element or do things that are not controlling the controllables or try to do too much. So, a really probably too complex answer for, listen, man, we're every day trying to make this team better and have to focus on what we can do to control what we can control. Now, what that move does is changes the market. So that doesn't necessarily increase pressure, but it does increase potentially the price.
What is your sense of the market so far? Based on what you've been able to get, the read on it, you've been able to get over the All-Star break. You said the Red Sox were aggressive, and clearly they were. I mean, I think in some cases injuries obviously forced them into being aggressive. But is it your sense that we may have a more active market, Ross, than you originally thought, or a less active market than you originally thought?
It feels similar to past years to me. Maybe slightly more aggressive just because of the lack of pitching on the market. So things are moving maybe a little bit quicker on the bigger names. But, it's hard to say. I'll have a better sense for that probably in a week. But what I can say is that the Toronto Blue Jays are hard to make better in this market. Looking at the alternatives and what's out there as we consider, okay, what are the clear upgrades? There aren't a lot of them. We have a really good team, and that has, the team has taken better shape over the last few weeks. And it really is, as we consider what's out there, it's very difficult to look to improve our team. So, you know, whether or not this market ends up being more aggressive or more fluid or moving slower, whatever it may be, our challenge remains that it's a difficult team to upgrade.
Ross, I think most of us have been operating under the assumption that you guys, that the front office is interested in sort of addressing short and medium or long-term issues at the trade deadline. In other words, you're not necessarily interested in a rental player. You're sort of interested in someone that can help you now and maybe next year. And in some ways, the Jays are kind of lucky because the needs you have right now are sort of the same needs you will likely have next year regardless. I mean, even if you win the World Series, you may have the same needs. You may have the same needs next year. Are you still focused on that short and, you know, long-term answer to questions as opposed to simply, okay, we need another starting pitcher. We're going to go after this guy, even if he's only a rental.
No, I think that's well said. Everything you just said is well said. It's a very it's indicative of the market and what you heard us say. Now, the only thing I would say that's subtly different is that we certainly could be interested in a rental. It just depends on the acquisition cost.
Right.
And so that's how you have to balance it. And, you know, for us, I don't think I've said this a few times. We certainly believe in windows of opportunity and making sure that you are opportunistic when you do have these opportunities. We also recognize that it can be an incredible jolt of energy into a clubhouse and what that means. And, you know, as long as you make the right moves and you're acquiring good makeup and somebody that's going to complement your clubhouse and complement your team. Our challenge remains that because of our starting pitching acquisitions in the offseason, a couple of things that have occurred from a health standpoint, and then a couple of guys who have really overachieved in Darwin Barney, Ezekiel Carrera, and we have Jose Bautista coming back into the fold, what Michael Saunders has done, it really is difficult to look out into the market and say, okay, here are clear upgrades because something's going to give. And that's where the balance is what's going to give and at what cost.
Well, we've gone 5 minutes without asking you about Aaron Sanchez, so I'm going to apologize. I'm now going to ask you about Aaron Sanchez.
No problem, man. I love talking about him. I love that we're in the situation that we are in.
Oh, it's much better than the alternative. Believe me, it's much better than the alternative. I'm interested in this, though. Could Aaron's status change depending on what's available in the market? In other words, do you and Mark and John and Pete Walker, do you have to sit down and say, okay, we're now ready to put Aaron Sanchez into the bullpen, therefore we need to go out and get pitcher X? Or is it the type of situation where maybe pitcher X is available on the market and you say, okay, we can get this guy, now we put Aaron Sanchez into the bullpen? In other words, what is the chicken and what is the egg here? Aaron Sanchez goes to the bullpen, or the person, a good replacement for him, is available on the market, therefore Aaron Sanchez goes into the bullpen?
You know, we might get to that point, but I don't see that occurring. I don't see that player there, and it's not that big of a market, right?
Right.
So I don't see the market driving that decision in any way. But you never know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there could be something where there's some type of acquisition that could subtly influence or impact that. But I can tell you honestly that we have not talked about it that way. We've only talked about it from the standpoint of what's best for our current situation and for Aaron Sanchez. So it really is a great situation to be in. The fact that, you know, at the start of the year, we were deciding whether or not it would be best to be in this situation, to get into this situation, and now we have to decide whether or not we should move an all-star out of our rotation.
Yeah, now, Ross, you've been in the American League East for, what, almost 90 games. Is it what you thought it would be, the American League East? Is it all it's cracked up to be? Because I know from afar,
yeah,
you know, it's not always the same as when you start digging into it and being actually a part of it. Is it all you expected it would be?
You know what, man? It is. It's been, from a distance, you certainly respect the balance of the division, the challenges of it. I think the one thing you don't certainly feel is the size of the ballparks. You objectively are aware of it, but it certainly does create a little bit more run production playing in some of these ballparks. But you know, the other thing is, it just doesn't really relent, and that you know, it's different. Every team, every division has certain challenges because there are some benefits to this one: the excitement and energy around the ballparks, the fans that are following these teams, and the travel's relatively nice. But you know, it does not relent, man. It is, you know, you look up and you got four against, you know, the Orioles after, you know, a long stretch that you felt like you fared pretty well and your bullpen's beat up, and then you got to play, you know, whatever, you know the gig. But mm-hmm. man, it's relentless.
Yeah, you just talked about getting Jose Bautista back, and you know, I have to ask you about Chris Colabello. I know we've been seeing him a little bit playing in the minor leagues, and you know, you said you getting Bautista back would be a big deal. Now, Chris Colabello in the last year was one of the best hitters on the Blue Jays team. You get a guy back like that could give you any production whatsoever would be a big deal. Any plans one way or the other for him, what he's going to be a part of this team sooner than later?
So really, I mean, you know, we'll have to balance it with what our alternative is at that point, how guys are faring, how guys are playing. He's not quite as established as a Jose Bautista. Love Chris Colabello, incredible player, a very good piece to what occurred here last year, and know that he can help. The other factor is that he cannot be on our playoff roster. So we have to balance that with whoever we take off of our team now, recognizing that Chris won't be a part of the playoff team. So it's a tough situation for us. It's way tougher for Chris. And it's one that we will look to really just, you know, go day by day and not commit to anything. But certainly glad that we're going to have him as an alternative again.
Yeah, Jeff asked you earlier about Aaron Sanchez, and I have to follow up on that. You know, we just love talking about Aaron Sanchez on this show because, you know, he's a lot of fun to watch. But the last couple of times, especially in the Detroit start, and now the All-Star game, to me, he looked like he was overthrowing a little bit. He was trying to get back to throwing, you know, turning around and looking at that clock and it's saying 97, 98. He looked like he was trying to get it to that number. Do you see any of that? And if you do, is that a worry for a young guy to, you know, trying to overthrow of that nature?
You know, so much of that is hard to balance when you're watching the results, because I've also seen I did not feel that. I did not feel that he was trying to do too much or overexerting himself in the moment. I'm not saying that I'm right either.
Mm-hmm.
But that did not come to mind as I was watching him pitch. So much of it, you know, is impacted by outcomes, because I've seen Aaron Sanchez get a lot of outs at the top of a strike zone and get a lot of swing and miss at the top of the strike zone. So when that turns into balls or hit by pitches, it's a very fine line, and things can, you know, when a ground ball is not hit at someone, like the ground ball that was hit up the middle in the All-Star game,
mm-hmm.
you know, then it kind of changes the perception of things. I think, you know, in Detroit, had a couple of more balls not found holes, or had he, you know, walked one less guy, not hit a guy, you know, I'm not so sure we would be talking about that, but I honestly, Kevin, I didn't feel that he mm-hmm. was overexerting or trying to do too much. He still looks really strong to me.
Ross, we know that Jose Bautista is due back at some point. I believe, are you guys still expecting him back at early in August, the end of July, or is there a time frame table?
We're really going day by day. It's such a the injury is not one that is crystal clear. It has a lot to do with it. So it's not dependent upon pain tolerance. It's not as dependent upon anything other than how quickly does someone heal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something where we want to say, okay, you know, this is where we expect him back. I will tell you that we're feeling better and better each day about him speeding up a timeline that is projected and very raw.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, feel like, you know, really we're not going to be too far into August before he's back.
Okay, is there a scenario, though, where you think he might DH and you may have Ezekiel Carrera or somebody else in the outfield? Is that possible? Or when he comes back, could you see him going right into the outfield?
Yeah, I think he goes right into the outfield.
Okay.
But, you know, there's any scenario that we'll consider, and a lot of it will be dependent upon how he's feeling and, you know, certainly how Zeke is feeling and how he's playing. But, you know, right now, as of today, Jose is our right fielder.
I know that I had a conversation with the commissioner's office yesterday about some of David Ortiz's statements at the All-Star game about Edwin Encarnacion. And I mean, I don't expect they're going to do anything, but they're certainly aware of them. And they said they're going to look into them as possible tampering, frankly, probably just to kind of send a message up to everybody to just shut up when it comes to this. But how concerned are the Blue Jays, or were the Blue Jays, about those statements from Edwin? Because, you know, from David Ortiz. Because, look, I think we all know there's nothing surprising when it comes to the market or anything like that. And most of us can put two and two together and come up with something resembling four. But at the same time, you can't have people from other teams running around saying, hey, come join me or come join us. I mean, you just can't do that. If you did that, you'd be hammered.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's two things that come to mind. One is, you know, I'm focused on this team. I'm focused on how we're making it better. And, you know, Edwin has represented the Blue Jays exceptionally well. So I don't spend too much time thinking about Big Poppy other than how to get him out. So, you know, really, it didn't faze me seemingly the same way that it fazed others. But at the same time, I understand and respect that it could be influencing the market on some level. So, but again, I just go back to focusing on how do we make our situation better. Is there anything we can do to help our chances to keep Edwin here? And the second thing that, you know, I remind myself of is that ultimately, you know, I never view it this way. I wake up every day thinking about baseball as a competitive game where you're trying to win every day. But it's also the entertainment business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Big Poppy is a dynamic personality that is ultimately good for baseball. He is someone that draws attention and brings people to the game. So any time that this game is getting attention, ultimately it's a good thing. Oh, for the most part. For the most part. But, you know, so I remind myself of that before it creates any unnecessary venom.
Ross, we're going to let you run. Appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much.
All right, Jeff and Kevin. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Take care. That's Ross Atkins, general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. So there you go. And as far as Edwin and Jose go, I mean, I think the Blue Jays, you know, they've been very quiet. They've adopted a very quiet approach with this, both Mark and Ross. But I think we're all under the impression that that there will not be a deal done with these guys during the season. It's possible. I guess it's possible one of them gets it done, maybe Edwin, but I think most of us kind of expect the Jays to just let this, mm-hmm. let the season play out. Some interesting stuff from Ross Atkins, though. Particularly telling to me is that, you know, there so far there really hasn't been a player on the market that they think makes the Blue Jays better.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that, and we'll also take a look at our second half picks as well. It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back to Baseball Central for Friday, July 15th. By the way, I'm on holidays for the next couple of weeks. I'll still be around here. I just won't be in the studio. But Ben Ennis is going to be handling things. And I'm sure he and Bark will have a lot of fun together. You guys work together well, I've noticed in the past. It's important that there's chemistry between people, so I'm looking forward to that, and I'll be listening to it. Let's talk about our second half picks. We did our divisional picks, our team-by-team picks, and it's time to look at some of our individual awards. And I did a redo of mine in my Monday column. I picked Josh Donaldson the first half as my Major League MVP, and I'm sticking with that as my American League MVP. Who'd you pick as your American League MVP?
Well, I picked Carlos Correa.
Nice call. Who are you changing it to?
Josh Donaldson.
Yeah.
Well, Jose Altuve is having a pretty good year, too, and it was real hard for me not to pick 119 hits, 14 homers, 51 RBIs, 37 Ks. He has more walks than strikeouts. He's hit 341 with an OPS of 954. It's real hard.
Let me let you in a secret, Mr. Barker.
For me not to pick Altuve.
I came really, really, really close to picking Jose Altuve.
But
I really did.
Donaldson with that 304 average, that OPS over one, those 23 homers, those 63 RBIs, those 102 hits, and those 80 runs, and he's getting Jose Bautista back and hitting in front of him.
Yep. Oh. Why don't we just forget about the Cy Young Award in the American League and move on to the American League Rookie of the Year?
You don't want to pick the...
I picked Chris Archer for the American League Cy Young.
Well, you're good at this.
Shut up. My revised pick.
Wait, who are we picking?
American League Cy Young. I'm revising my pick, but I'm gonna throw a little curveball at you, I think. I'm going with Danny Salazar, the Cleveland Indians. Having a terrific year.
Did he hurt?
Indians. Doesn't matter. I'm taking him anyhow. Danny Salazar, the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, I can't pick a guy that's hurt. I'm going to go with your pick. Chris Sale. I picked David Price.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, you know, maybe he's got the big eye in Boston.
Yeah.
He's got 140 strikeouts, but that leads Major League Baseball. I think it's 100. No, it's 100 and something, whatever. He leads baseball in punch outs, but I'm still going with Chris Sale.
American League Rookie of the Year, I picked Joey Gallo, which would have been a great pick if he'd played. I revised my pick, Michael Fulmer of the Detroit Tigers. Tigers are in it. Michael Fulmer has saved Brad Ausmus's you-know-what. And Nomar Mazara of the Rangers, you know, is a Rookie of the Year candidate. So I guess I get half points.
Almost like you're reading it off my piece of paper here.
I'm not. I'm reading it off the...
Well, I'm going to go with the same guy you picked, Michael Fulmer, 9-2, 2.11 ERA,
yeah,
13
he's
starts.
Pretty hard, 2.11 ERA.
A whip over, a little over one.
Yeah, dude pitches in the American League. That's pretty good. National League MVP, I went with Bryce Harper out of the gate. I've got to revise that. I'm trying hard not to jump in the Cubs bandwagon, but man, Chris Bryant's having himself a year.
It's basically like you're reading my piece of paper.
Great minds think alike is how I
picked Stanton, Giancarlo Stanton, and I really want to stay with him.
I would.
He's hitting 230.
But I can see the Marlins. I can see the Marlins making a run to the wild card, and if they do, he's going to get something.
I really like Arenado, too, with the Rockies. He's having a pretty good year.
The only problem is they're not doing anything as a team.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to who'd you pick?
Chris Bryant.
Okay, I'm going to stay with Giancarlo Stanton. I like Chris Bryant, and that's probably who I would have picked.
Stanton.
But I'm going to stay with Stanton because, it's more wishful thinking. He hits 50 homers. They're going to be 17 miles worth of home runs.
He's capable of
going
around.
So I'm staying with Stanton.
Yeah, he's capable of going around. National League Cy Young, that's fine. National League Cy Young, I picked Madison Bumgarner of the Giants. I'm gonna revise the pick, and I went with Johnny Cueto. Mm-hmm. We had to do it. Actually, I revised it twice. We had to do it for my column and then for Sportsnet.ca as well. But I have such a hard time with the National League Cy Young because Clayton Kershaw, if he makes his next start, he's just going to be so dominant. But I'm gonna kind of go with Johnny Cueto.
I'm not. I'm going Kershaw. First in ERA, third in average allowed, first in shutouts, second in hits per nine, first in walks per nine.
Mm. Yeah, he's
11-2 with an ERA of 1.79, 145 Ks, and a whip. And I'm going to say this of 0.73.
Yeah. You're right. I'm wrong.
Clayton Kershaw.
I'm usually okay. You know, the Cy Young Awards are usually the ones I do well in. But, I mean, how hard is it to pick, you can pick Clayton Kershaw every year. Anyhow, Rookie of the Year, I went with Corey Seager of the Dodgers. I'm still sticking with it. I don't think there's anybody close. Dodgers are contending. He's an important player in a contending team. To me, when you're talking about individual honors, and I know not everybody agrees with this, but when you're talking about individual honors, you get bonus points if your team is contending.
Well, I like Trevor Story, but I think he's been hurt a little bit. He's got those home runs and some RBIs, but I'm with you. I like Corey Seager. That's who I picked. I'm sticking with it. It's like you said, play. If you do it in LA, you've done something. Picking him.
I want to revisit something that Ross Atkins told us in his interview with us about, because it kind of ties in with something Mike Wilner said, and I don't think people have been giving Mike Wilner enough credit for it. But, I mean, Mike Wilner made the point today that, you know, maybe one of the things that's happening in Toronto is we're not used to having a real good team. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not used to having a good team that is repeating, coming off a real good year. We tend to look around and go, God, it could be so much better. It's a grass is greener philosophy. Ross Atkins made the point, though, that, you know, from what we're seeing in the market right now, he just said that, you know, there isn't a lot out there that makes us better than we are right now. There isn't a lot out there that's an upgrade. And I think we need to keep that in mind because we live in a world of fantasy sports. The ideal scenario is that you don't have to trade.
Yep.
That's the ideal scenario, is mm-hmm. that your team is good enough that you don't have to trade. And I find that interesting that you've got a general manager saying, hey, you know, we get Jose Bautista back. There may not be that upgrade out there right now. We're not going to upgrade a catcher. You're not going to upgrade a first base. You're not going to upgrade at second. You're not going to upgrade at third, certainly. Maybe there's an upgrade in the outfield. Maybe, although he seemed to think that Jose Bautista would be playing some in right field. If you look mm-hmm. at it that way.
Hey, the way I look at it, the only people that matter are the 25 on that field, and I'm sure that Ross and Mark have had that conversation with those 25 guys and said, are they going to say that we believe in the 25 that's in here if they don't go out and make a move? That gives them confidence to say that, you know, we're going to live and die with what we got here. I mean, you can look down the line and you can say that they have some of the best players in baseball all on the same team. To me, what sets them apart, and I think it's the biggest surprise, is the rotation. The rotation has taken this team to a different level, and then you add the role players that have stepped in off the bench and done the job they've done. It's just their team is rolling on all cylinders, and I'll say this, J-Hap had when somebody stuck the microphone in his face, and he said that this team shows up every day expecting to win.
Mm-hmm.
Those are awesome words to hear if you're a fan of the Blue Jays, and, you know, a guy doesn't say that unless he thinks, and a lot of the people around him think that their team's really, really good.
Yeah. Well, I found that statement interesting, and I found it, as I said, I found it timely because I really do think that we do get carried away around trade down. Every you know, somebody acquires, we've got to make a deal because they acquired. Well, no, you don't. Drew Pomeranz joining the Red Sox doesn't make the Blue Jays a worse team.
Yeah, because you got to figure this. If Drew Storm becomes Drew Storm.
I'm not even looking at that,
and
though.
Brett Cecil becomes that guy, then.
Yeah, but I'm not even looking at that.
You got a good-looking team.
I guess the point is that just because Boston does something, as Ross said, yeah, it affects the market, but it doesn't change what we're running out there.
Okay. It makes sense.
It doesn't change what we're running out there. Anyhow, look. I'll be back on August 1st. I'll be back in the trade deadline. And, I'm fully expecting the Jays will do something. It may just be getting somebody like Will Smith, an arm for the back end of the bullpen. I fully expect the Jays to do something, though. But I kind of agree with what Ross Atkins said. You know, if you're not upgrading, if you're not getting a clear upgrade, you don't make a move for the sake of making a move.
He would know better than anybody.
And I think we also need to point out, we've given the Red Sox credit for being aggressive, and they deserve it. But the only reason they went out to get Brad Ziegler is because of an injury. You know what I'm saying? It's like health can completely change a situation. So that is it for us. For Ross Atkins and Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair. I'll be back on August 1st. Mr. Barker will be back on Monday with Ben Ennis, who will be sitting in on Baseball Central. Mr. Ennis will also be handling responsibilities on the Jeff Blair Show as well. I'm going to miss you, Barker. I'll take that as a me too.
Have fun.
I will. Kevin Barker and Ross Atkins, Jeff Blair, thanks for joining us on Baseball Central.